Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
The podcast.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to the show, Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
A little soapy a little throat bit, there.
I think there's a little bit of soap in the coffee.
In the coffee machine?
Yeah.
No, did you... I always rinse my cup. Where did you get your cup from?
In the coffee.
No,
and I rinse my cup as well.
Does someone clean the tubes or something?
I never use the tubes. The only thing that the tube uses is to pull milk through.
Milk.
Jesus.
Pull milk.
They pulls the milk through. It pulls the milk through, but it's got a dip in it, so the milk sits in the dip, and then it goes hard off. And yogurty. Yeah.
Well, I don't get the milk out of the tube.
You still got that soap in your throat.
I don't know. Yeah, yuck. Okay.
Do you think it tastes soapy? Did Ash think it tasted soapy too?
Ash told me her one tasted soapy, and now I think mine is.
It's all in your head.
It's in my head. I hadn't thought mine tasted soapy until you said yours tasted soapy.
Does yours taste soapy?
Only because you said so.
Yeah.
And I went absolutely no milk today. I've gone black.
Right, okay.
Black coffee. Black like my heart.
Medical problem. You may have a black heart, Vaughn, and you may say I'm a man with a stone heart.
Yeah.
But today we're going to get emotional because it's Megan's last day.
Surgery tomorrow.
Before her surgery.
Yeah. Are you actually going to get emotional?
I was going to say
I what I've written is probably only going to reinforce what people thought about my already black heart.
Right. We are going to set up a microphone, Megan's, later during the show, and we're going to do your eulogies just in case you don't make it.
That's kind of nice because I've always thought people say way nicer things about you when you're dead.
Oh, they do. Nobody speaks ill of the dead.
Yeah. Say some nice things to me when I'm alive.
Now, the problem is when people say nice things to me, I either don't know what to say back or I assume they're being sarcastic when I get angry at them.
Like when someone gave you a compliment the other day and you turned to face the door.
And I turned away. I hate it. I just don't.
You can't deal with it, can you?
I know I'm great. I don't need you to tell me. I find it awkward in a social situation. But I tell myself it all the time in the mirror. It's the only thing that keeps me going.
Right.
Like when I say I need to go to the toilet here, I'm not. I'm just nipping off for a little bit of a, come on, mate, you can do this.
All right, joining us in studio this morning, we've got the Nathans from Shortland Street in studio. This will be their first radio interview as well.
Because they're new on Shortland Street. They're the ones that are causing a bit of drama. And Shortland Street's first ever transgender character as well.
And it's a teenager.
Yeah.
This is groundbreaking stuff for not only Shortland Street, but New Zealand on a whole.
The Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast.
But first, story time. Three news headlines from around the world. Vaughn and Megan pick one story. Headline one. Kids dodging arrows game doesn't end well.
What's that called? Roulette something.
Headline two, best 50th celebration ever. And headline three, Grand Theft Auto Cement Truck Edition.
Oh.
So someone got shot by the arrow.
You got the good stuff today. You got the good stuff. You got the good stuff. I've always wanted to just go crazy in a concrete, like watching The Walking Dead.
Right.
They're driving around, trees are on the road, cars are on the road. I think these guys need a cement truck. You just plow through things. Don't stop and get out of the car so the zombies can get you.
I think a tree would still stop a cement truck.
And not if you put a bulldozer on the front.
Oh, yeah,
like
true.
A bulldozer blade.
Okay. You're strange.
I'm going to need a welder when the zombie apocalypse comes.
Yeah.
Best 50th ever, concrete truck, Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
And arrow roulette.
Pick one.
I like the...
The top and tail have been taken care of. The cement truck.
You want the middle?
I think the middle. Best 50th ever?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, we go to America where the Slurpee has turned 50.
Slurpee?
The delicious... I immediately regret picking this story.
I thought it was going to be about like amazing 50th party or something.
Well, you know, 7-Eleven, the 7-Eleven stores that are everywhere in America, they're the home of the Slurpee, where you can go in and, you know, it's America, you can get the giant cups.
The huge cups.
So from time to time, 7-Eleven will quite often do like a little Slurpee promo, but to celebrate the 50th birthday of the Slurpee, they let customers fill up any container they wanted for $1.50.
I saw that. The bring your own container.
Yeah, the only rules are the cup had to be leak-proof, clean, and able to hold the Slurpee drink. Now, let me just run through some of the containers
that
customers brought in. This man brought in a sled. This man...
The guy that brought in the sled did not need a sled worth of Slurpee.
The guy that brought in his fish tank and filled it nearly to the top, and that's a giant fish
tank
as well.
Fish tank.
The man that brought in a water cooler bottle and filled that with Slurpee for $1.50.
The Slurpee's gonna... This is no good. The Slurpee's gonna melt. It's just gonna be... Liquid.
You paid $1.50 for it.
It's just going to be syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guys that brought in a giant cooking catering pot. Grand brought in some gumboots. Somebody brought in a trophy.
Yeah, little kids' gumboots.
Somebody hollowed out a watermelon. There were empty beer bottles, empty coffee filter bottles. Somebody brought in a KFC bucket. Filled that.
Well played, although those aren't leak proof.
Somebody brought in a condom and filled that. And somebody also bought in a crock pot and filled that.
Good to
many different
pot.
Containers, and they couldn't say no because, like they said, you could fill any container.
Bring your own vessel.
For $1.50.
That's what America needs. Everyone drinking lots and lots of syrup.
Lots of syrupy, sugary, deliciousness.
Any, like, stats on how much Slurpee they gave away sold that day?
There's not, no.
I bet it was a considerable amount.
Oh, it would have been
amount.
Out of control, yeah. Do you know they've also invented a new donut-flavoured Slurpee?
Shut up.
Just have a think about that for
not
a moment.
Not into it, not into it.
What was that gin you were talking
gin
about?
Gin-infused hot cross bun gin. There's this London-based gin company. Now, the Brits know their gin.
They do,
They do a good gin, and they do infused gin, and they were bringing out a special hot cross bun gin for Easter.
You can get infused vodkas as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can infuse your own.
What?
You know, you do like Skittles gin and stuff. You just infuse it yourself.
Well, you just leave Skittles in the bottom of the bottle.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Fledge, Vaughn and Megan.
It's my last day today. Tomorrow I have surgery on my hip. And so there's lots of like little things that you have to do beforehand. Lots of forms and stuff.
Like what about your nails?
I know, I had to take my nails off.
First time I've ever seen Megan with
nude nails.
Do you know, it would have almost been 2 years since I've had naked nails. How weird is that?
Why did you have them before that?
I don't know. I just didn't want to pay to get them done.
Right, okay. It's kind of makes your hands look shorter.
I know. Yeah. I've got stumpy little hands.
Little stumpy fingers.
Donald Trump hands.
Yeah, so that was one of the preparations. And also you have to get like blood tests taken. I don't know why the doctors need it, blah, blah, blah. But anyway.
Probably because if you lose blood, they need to give you more. So they kind of need to lock in what kind you are.
But also they just do like tests on it and see, I don't know.
But this is all good stuff though. They've got to do all this business.
Yeah. Well, yesterday I had to go get that done and they took like vials? Test tubey things.
I can't look when I get a blood test. I just look the other way.
Oh, no, I love it when it first squirts out into the little...
Do you like looking in there? I've never seen that happen because
really?
I always look the other way.
Yeah,
it really squirts out with a bit of
gun.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm, like, not good with needles at all. Like, I get a little bit anxious about going in there, but I was going to be brave and I was taking deep breaths and I looked the other way. And she took the blood, 5 vials, and I was like, geez.
Just from the one, she puts it in and then pushes
there's like
on those little things.
They clip them out, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she took 5 of those.
And
so
she.
Not much blood.
No, that's quite a bit, isn't it?
Not really.
Would it be a glass? Would it be a glass?
No, God,
half
no,
a glass.
No, I don't know how much is in those tiny vials. I'd say no more than 30 mil.
Okay.
Anyway, so she took 5 of them.
So Megan's given a quarter of what the average person gives in a blood donation.
Oh,
yeah.
And I didn't get a chocolate biscuit. And that was fine. She took it out and she started writing on them to the side. I was sitting in the chair and I was taking deep breaths and all of a sudden the fan that was in the room, I couldn't hear it anymore and my ears started blocking up and I was like, what's happened? Did she turn that off? I remember taking, like, my eyes started going a bit wobbly and I remember taking one deep breath going... And then I remember hearing her say, "Are you okay?"
I'm going down.
I don't even remember that. I woke up on the floor, half inside the little like cubicle, half in the hallway.
Skirt around your waist.
With my head. Did I wear a skirt? I was wearing a skirt. With my head on a pillow. And I woke up to the lights on the top of the... She was standing over me, still writing on the vials.
You were like a drunk friend. You're like, leave me here. And they just pop a pillow under your head and leave you there till you can drag yourself to bed.
She was like, in future, tell me if you're not very good with needles. And I was like, I was trying to be brave.
I love how melodramatic this entire, what is essentially a standard procedure. I love how melodramatic it all is, like the spy...
the New Zealand Herald entertainment thing. Why Megan's farewelling ZM for now was their headline.
Yeah.
Wishing
like,
you a speedy recovery. Yeah.
That's not melodramatic. That's what you say to someone. I'm wishing you a speedy recovery.
No, we're all just like, see you in a month. Okay. Stink bitch taking a month off.
When we're going to lie down
here. Can't we all take a month off? It just feels wrong when one of us isn't here. We should. It's not too late for us all to take a month off, is what I'm saying.
Laura, who is kind of Megan's fill-in, the replacement teacher, I guess. She's going to be in later this morning. We're just going to have a run through. She's going to do spy. Later this morning, we're kind of going.
Well, Megan's still here.
Megan's still here. No, but you need to just show her the ropes and stuff.
It's like you guys are going to kiss her in front of me.
We've taught her fact of the day jingle too.
Fletch, Vaughn, and Megan.
ZM.
Robots taking our jobs.
Let's see a robot interview Alfie Allen with the sort of warm personal touch that we did.
Does this include because easily you could load in questions to the robot. Does it require?
Oh, yeah, human, isn't it?
Let me write in radio.
In essence, the old way of doing radio has been taken, but more by computers, because it's no longer like back in the day. I see videos and stuff of radio in the 60s and 70s where everything was like records.
Oh, yeah,
tapes,
yeah.
And
it's
everything
all automated now, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's so pretty much actor, like Fletch is just like a club DJ over there now, hit the space bar. Stop after this song.
I make it look like I do lots, but I'm just pressing space bar on the MacBook.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 screens is a little excessive. I mean, you're not flying a plane here, mate.
I need them all, mate.
No, the ground control is not even on.
It is now. No, because I've got a laptop, so I don't need this screen. Okay. This is a desktop. I'd actually probably have more screens in a cockpit in a plane, eh? Do you reckon?
Yeah, totally.
I've definitely got more screen inches. An actor,
entertainer, the inches, mate.
Or presenter is ranked 210th on the list of professions likely to be replaced by a robot.
Yes.
So that means that we're kind of in the middle.
Oh.
But then is that like an exponential thing? Like when the robots start taking the top jobs?
Maybe.
Advertisers are going to be targeted towards robots, so they'll want robots talking to robots on the radio.
So the robots go and buy things from the robot shops.
Yeah.
So we have a 37.4% risk of automation. So the top 10 jobs at risk most of automation.
Right.
Now bear in mind, supermarket checkouts have been automated, and every time you use one, you have to get the supervisor to scan it because there's something in the bagging item area.
Yeah.
Oh, you still
Are
need
you
a human.
Your own bag?
The thing, you still need humans. So you see lists like this, and I don't know if I'm fully buying into it.
No, until a robot's like, can I please see some identification?
Pensions and insurance clerks, 97%. Also 97%.
No, that's not true because old people are terrified of robots. So they won't, the pension clerks, like the people that they claim
their
pension
from. No, but this is in coming years.
Yeah. Right.
So when, you
when
know,
we're
like,
old.
We're older, we're used to robots.
We'll actually probably be making love to robots.
other things, financial.
Straight up, we will be, I read a thing.
Financial officers, bookkeepers, payroll manager, wages clerks, sales administrators.
Right.
Routine inspectors and testers are all at about 97% risk of being automated.
Okay.
Weighers, graders and sorters. Financial accounts manager.
The way it's
manager.
Great is already kind of
it kind
robotic,
of is, yeah.
isn't it?
Legal secretaries are third on the list.
Huh.
They've got a 97.6% chance of being automated.
That's so weird. I would have thought that would have been quite a human
A
job.
Typist or related keyboard worker has a 98.5% chance of automation.
That's due to the fact that you can speak now and it can be translated straight to text.
Yes.
Probably.
But then would that mean your secretaries or your receptionists, because you still need someone to
sleep
greet.
With.
And
oh, no, I was going to say greet, you know, the customers.
Yeah.
To your business.
You know, stenographers, that's going to, like, is that already
courtroom. Gone? Stenographer. Is that the courtroom
oh, yeah.
type?
Yeah.
Yeah, there probably will be.
That's
one
sad.
Day, maybe.
And
the risk of most automation for a job, telephone salesperson.
Do you know there's already, I listened to this podcast called There's No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yeah.
It's a fact guy. The people that put together that show QI.
Okay.
They have developed, and they were talking about automated phone sales.
Yeah.
They've got so good now that if you ask them, is this a robot? They'll be like, the computer programmer will say, no.
Because, you know, sometimes you ring up a place and it'll be voice. It'll be like, say what you're after.
Yeah.
And just like, want to speak to a person. Okay, but look, let's just run through some options first.
Yeah.
And you're just
Here's
like,
I'm a human. Speak to human. I cannot understand you. Right.
Yeah. At the other end of that list, though, things like doctors.
Have you got my laptop channel up? I'll prove to you why we're in no immediate danger of being replaced
okay.
by robots.
Yep.
Fact of the day, dollar A.
Doesn't.
I actually quite like that.
Did
it's
you?
Quite good, yeah.
Did you like that?
Quite like that.
God damn it. That's not good. You're supposed to say you didn't like it.
Do you want to say Megan's got spy next?
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. We'll do. We'll see how that sounds because you just tell me when you're ready.
Megan's got spy next. Okay, here we go.
Ready?
Megan's got spy next.
Oh, no, that was rubbish.
Great.
Spit it out.
I think that was perfect, really.
Yeah, it was.
Did you type that wrong? Or has she just got a lisp?
Megan's got spy next.
Oh, God, she's got fire.
She's come self-aware.
The Fletch, Vaughan and Megan podcast.
ZMOnline.com last night posted a gallery of how long you should leave leftovers for.
Oh, go on.
This started some debate before because Megan says I leave chicken too long.
Well, it's chicken, isn't it? You got to be careful.
I leave it a nice. I'll give leftovers as long as it takes me to eat them.
But what about chicken? What's your longest for chicken?
3 days after purchase.
See, I'm the same. I'm 3 days, and Megan's like, nah,
I'm not leaving it on the bench, Megan.
I do two max.
I'm going to run through the list of how long you should leave things as leftovers,
right,
before you have to chuck them out.
Right.
So they say.
Guys, I've just had a message into the Facebook inbox.
Okay.
Yeah.
This comes to us from Jess.
Okay.
It was quite long. I was like, oh, it'll be an international podcast. Shout out to a segment, if you don't listen to our podcast, that we do where we talk to people internationally in our podcast, but obviously not in the standard radio thing because they wouldn't hear that. So Jess writes, hi team, long time listener, second time message sender. I'm hoping you're all well. I was okay. Like, well, that's okay. A lovely start.
Okay.
This is a message for Vaughan, and Vaughan spelt wrong. So this is where it all starts.
It's obviously criticizing you in some way because you felt the need to point that out.
I have a concern for Vaughan.
Okay.
That I feel the need to share as it has been worrying me for a while now.
Okay.
Vaughan, again, spelt wrong.
Is it your beard?
Why, as I'm getting a beard trim today, by the way, I can't come to staff meeting, I'm getting a beard trim.
Is it your hat?
Shut up, everybody.
Should we kick list it?
No. Vaughan, why is it whenever there is a video or photo of you, you always seem to be wearing the same clothes?
No, I would. It's the Peter Griffin, Homer Simpson.
Yeah, Steve Jobs.
You wear a uniform. So people aren't surprised at what you're wearing.
Who else does it?
Albert Einstein?
No, the Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg.
He always wears the same. Remember they had photos of his wardrobe came out? All the same top.
Grey hoodies.
Yeah. He loves grey hoodies.
She says, I'd like to make you aware of my business as a personal stylist. I give my clients the opportunity to change or update their personal style and image and thought this may be a service you're interested in.
That's nice of her.
That's lovely.
I am not sure why you wear the same raglan tees all the time. Is it because you loved them 15 years ago and have never known how to update your look? From my experience, men in their 30s do struggle with their personal style as they are still young, not 20s young, and not old like in your 40s dad jeans old. So how do you convey your youth, family man, cool guy personality through your appearance? Anyway, I would love to help you update your image and personal style if you're keen to take this to the next level. FYI, this does not mean you have to get rid of the beard.
Right,
I'm a fan
okay.
of lumbersexuals. And then she lists a website that I won't read out because I'm not driving any business for it.
Was there a day a couple of weeks ago where you wore a normal T-shirt and I was like, well, something's wrong.
No, remember we went to corporate lunch and you wore a shirt.
I wore a collared shirt.
That's right. And it was just weird. It was weird. I didn't like it.
No, I thought you looked
for formal
so
occasions,
dapper.
I wear a collared shirt. I got a pair of brown pants too. They get a good outing
formal,
every time I have to be
outing.
Formal.
I get excited when you wear your formal hat too. I get excited when you just take that hat off.
Of my neat little red hat with the upturned peak.
Yeah.
It's everything I need from a hat. Comes my head and
right. Well, that's nice of her, but I could not imagine you because you put an order in at AS Colour for your raglan tees.
Yeah,
you about 15 at once, didn't
They're
you?
Not old. Do you update them regularly?
Well, I just add more to the rotation, get rid of a couple of the older ones, retire them, if you will.
Do you feel a little hurt by this, or are you just?
I don't really care.
You don't care about anything.
You don't feel the need to express yourself through clothes?
I've been to photo shoots where someone stalls you and you just end up dressed like a penis. Like, you're just like, I'd never wear this. This is stupid. You're stupid.
Vaughan does not appreciate fashion.
I don't appreciate purple pants and polka dot pants on Fletch and purple shirts and stupid dumb stuff. Who cares?
Maybe that's when you've had bad styling experience.
Yeah.
In the past.
Well, I own some collared shirts. I own heaps of collared shirts.
So
I did that thing Oprah does where she's like, turn your wardrobe around and flip if you wear them, put them back in. Didn't wear a single one of them in like a 6 month period.
So you just throw them out?
Nah, they're still there.
Oh, right. So what?
Because I might need them one day.
Because you're also a hoarder.
Yeah. So I went to the effort of doing that thing Oprah recommended, but then totally ignored it when it came to the end.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
There's been a bit of an argument in the studio, a bit of banter as to how long you should leave leftovers in the fridge for.
Well, the ZM Online put this up yesterday. Chicken, Megan tells me off because I'll get a roast chicken from the supermarket and I'll shred it. And then I'll use it in salads.
For days?
Well, 3 days max.
No, you've definitely
gone 2.5 days max.
I wouldn't go
four,
past
8
two.
Days max.
Yeah. End of the week, you're like, this is still good.
12 days max.
Even if it's like covered and in the fridge, there's like moisture, bacteria can get in. Can still make you sick even though it's cooked. So here's
salmonella
just
dub.
Put some sauce on it. You won't even taste the salmonella.
You reheat it in the microwave. Put some sauce on it. Easy.
And, so chicken, it says it should be a maximum of 2 days.
Okay.
Cooked, prepared. So this is for leftovers. So it's things that are prepared and then you put
right.
in the fridge.
Okay. Yeah.
Some of these are like pretty surprising. Veggie salad with dressing though. That can only stay in the fridge up to 2 days.
It'd start going manky after a day though. You wouldn't want it any longer than that.
Oh,
your salad
would
go limp.
Yeah.
Vegetarian hummus. Well, I would leave in there for ages.
Have you opened it?
Yeah. But sometimes
so
I make
had
my,
a, you've had
I
a couple
make
of
my
crackers.
Own, though. Like,
those ones from the supermarket are full of preservatives and stuff. They last ages.
You would think so.
They've got a best before date on them.
Okay, crunchy mum, back out with you. Homemade hummus. God, not all of us have got a chickpea plantation and dreadlocks.
Just buy it in the can. It says up to 4 days. See, I would probably go like 2 weeks.
Really? It gets crusty on top.
Yeah.
Crunk it out. Crust off. Sushi, not surprisingly, 1 day refrigerated
That's
by the
rice,
end of the day.
Got it. Yeah. You're not supposed to keep rice.
Especially when it's been like cooked and it's been moist. Bacteria.
I mean, it doesn't cost much, does it, rice? Better than the cost of spewing and pooing for 3 or 4 days.
Chicken tikka masala, very specific.
2 days, tops.
Three to four.
Oh, but that's three chicken.
Yeah, but it's cooked. And then you.
And is it in this thing?
I don't know. Okay. Yeah. Salmon teriyaki, a maximum of 2 days. Beef and broccoli.
I would have thought 1 day tops for fish, even an oily salmon.
What about is pizza on the list?
Pizza's on the list.
Because that would last for ages, wouldn't it? You'd go a week for that, wouldn't you?
Goes quite hard though.
Yeah, but the meat's not really meat, is it? A lot of it's all processed and stuff.
Well, it says 3 to 4 days, so I guess almost a week, yeah.
Wow.
Let's be honest, that's not lasting much after on a Sunday, is it?
Day.
Leftover pizza.
Any word on like a meatloaf or a mince-based recipe? Because my dad will leave that in the fridge till it starts getting orange gunk on it.
That's just cold fat.
No,
that's
no, the cold, no, the cold fat's there, Megan, and then it starts getting a little more orange. I believe it might be a fungus, but my dad is never sick, and he says the reason is the orange stuff that goes on the mince.
Oh, that's disgusting.
He reckons it's his homemade penicillin. Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. One of the members of the show now isn't wearing underpants. That was let slip this morning. Now, it might not be who, given the current climate of the show, it might not be who you expect. Because it's not me.
Well, it wouldn't be me, would it? If I had to guess, it would be you, Vaughn.
Yeah, I would guess you too.
Yeah.
Recently, I was sent 7 pairs of underpants.
Underpants. That's weird.
Yeah, boxers. Just say boxers.
Undies.
Boxer briefs. Undies. Knickers.
Underpants.
Knickers.
So it's recently
it
said
like you're
seven pairs of knickers. 7 pairs of big man knickers.
You always have knickers, to say knickers.
Knickers are so underused these days.
The word knickers. Yeah.
I love it when you two say knickers.
It's so funny. You know how this reason the revival of the word knickers? When we were at Wild Foods, we were driving and we were wearing our Swan Dry short shorts. And Fletch said, I tell you one thing I really like about short shorts, the breeze from the car fan goes right up my leg and hits my knickers. Quote, we all cracked up and then Fletch, it was like, oh yeah, no, I was trying to be funny. It was a joke. We were like, whatever,
right.
Knickers.
I was.
He loves
Heats
calling them
trying
knickers.
To bring
you
back
must always refer to them
knickers.
As knickers.
As knickers. So I recently got sent 7 pairs of Heidi Klum's man's knickers. So I'm all knickered up, dog. I'm underpants right up to here. Yeah. So many underpants. One for each day of the week.
Producer Caitlin,
how's your underpants situation? You're a hot mess.
Oh, thank you very much. No, I've got some lovely black... Oh, we're not talking about the colour, are we?
No, we're not really. Just want to know
just that you're wearing them.
I'm wearing
them. Alan, the video guy?
Are you wearing knickers, Alan?
I am wearing knickers today.
Thank you, Alan, for wearing knickers to work. Megan, are you wearing knickers?
I'm wearing new knickers, actually.
Are you? Yes. Spoiler,
plot twist. James, the producer, who is living at home at the moment, whose mum does the washing...
And the cooking and the cleaning and the everything. How is it that you don't have clean knickers?
They just weren't there.
Is Kath slipping? What's Kath up to? Mama Kath.
Kath had a weekend away with the family and...
How did you soil all your knickers in one weekend?
Because I do this thing with my washing where I just put it behind my door. Like, I've always done it.
You're a grown man.
How old are you? 25.
Yeah, I don't have a washing basket. I never haven't had it.
But because your mum didn't do the washing, you don't have clean clothing.
It would appear to be that way, yeah.
At her house, she didn't take her washing machine and all the washing powder on holiday with the family, did she?
No.
That's remained in the house now.
Right, okay.
And also, you knew this was coming. It wasn't sprung upon you because you warned Kath. You're like, I'm about to have no knickers.
Sort of. No, she was away for the weekend, and on Friday there was a whole heap of washing done. And then yesterday I was like,
I'm out of knickers.
I've got nothing left. Like, what's going on? Where is this? And she was like, oh, well, I won't be home tonight, so you could either
hang it out
or I'll be doing a whole lot of drying stuff tomorrow. And I was like, oh, I'll wait for tomorrow.
No, he's changed his story because when he told us this story before, he went like this. Mama, no, there's no knickers. He was very upset. How long have you been home for? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? Your mum's already sick of your shit, basically.
She's given up on me. Luckily, there's a door to like me and my sister's rooms, and she just shuts that door.
Do you know what I love is that this would happen all the time, and this is what I want to ask this morning. Especially, do you think this would ever happen to professional people that wear a suit?
No,
I'm a professional person.
No, I just mean like other professional people
that wear suits and have to look respectable when they go to work.
I was going to say, I thought he was wearing socks and sandals. That's the true mark of a professional. But you know, you're just wearing sandals, no socks.
But some people actually like it. Going commando.
It's been fine so far.
On the odd occasion I have, it always freaks me out when my junk touches the back of the zip because it's cold. And you don't feel that cold through the underpants.
You don't want to be risking that though.
Because I wear a thick cotton knicker. I don't wear a thin lacy knicker anymore.
Okay, stop saying that. It's weird. It's weird when you say it so much.
Knickers, So when have you gone without your knickers? And not just any
commando.
Old situation.
When have you gone commando?
Without your knickers.
When have you gone Nicholas? What's the most formal occasion?
But then some people prefer commando with formal because you don't see the line. You don't get the
visible
Nickeline.
That's true.
The VKL.
The VKL.
But guys in suits aren't worried about VPL.
No.
Are they?
But are there any professional people listening or just, I don't know, everyday people that, just like James, mess up the washing?
Yeah.
And so you go to this proper job and you're commando, but no one knows?
Given that we soon will be reading Megan's eulogies, has anyone ever gone to a funeral with no knickers on?
Or like to their wedding?
Say commando. It sounds weird. People just tuning in didn't hear the setup for this. And they think we're weird.
Did he say knickers? Anything that you wear as an undergarment is now to be referred to as knickers.
We're bringing back the word.
Thank every male that's texted to the text machine who's used knickers, where I'm reading their story and I think it's a female telling the story because they keep saying knickers, and then I get to the end, it's like, Dave.
Is it, now, do you think it's more of a guy thing to go, more of a girl thing to go commando in a formal occasion?
Yeah, I think so, because sometimes the dresses, the like real tight dresses or like real like flimsy dresses, you don't want to see like full on undies.
And guys, there's a lot more to contain. You've got to contain it, don't you?
Yeah, right.
Otherwise you get caught in zips or it pokes out a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like getting a shopping bag at Countdown. You know, you put it all in a bag and you know where it all is. But if you don't get a bag, you could be dropping stuff on the way back to the car. And you don't want a tin of beans rolling across the car park and getting run over by a family SUV.
Well, you don't want to leave a ball in the trolley.
No, you don't. You leave a receipt and a lettuce leaf in there, but don't leave your balls in there.
It's a bizarre metaphor, Vaughan. I'll give you that.
Somebody said, I never wear knickers, but only my partner knows. Oh.
Isn't it weird that you like walk out into the office at work today or any office? Imagine someone's commando. That's weird to think about.
Somebody said, I went commando to my current job interview. I got the job. I wasn't wearing underpants. Gave me a little bit more courage than maybe usually.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. Someone says, I work in your building and I never wear knickers.
That's creepy.
I have their number though, so we'll run that through the employee records.
Copy and paste that into the database.
My father-in-law never wears knickers, even to our wedding. He was Nicholas. So wrong.
Yeah, unless if he was one of those fathers that wears short truck driver shorts.
Like
that
subbies.
You might get an eyeful.
I was thinking about summer.
Jonathan, when did you go commando to a formal occasion?
I went commando for about 3 years straight.
What?
Because my luck changed one day when I wasn't wearing them, so I figured it made me lucky.
Okay, so it was a superstitious thing for you to not wear underwear.
Yeah, for a while it was.
Right, so three years, every formal event you went to, you went commando.
Or every day.
I didn't do a whole lot of formal going to. But it changed when I had to start wearing proper, suit pants, and then you could see the outline.
When someone brought it
to my attention, that's when I realized I should probably change my lifestyle.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, that and the cleanliness that underwear provides.
Well, it does. Let's not forget that. It's a changeable barrier, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For the pants, you don't have to change your pants daily.
There's no weird rubbing. Also, when you have to go try on pants, it's awkward when someone walks in the changing room.
Yeah, you shouldn't try on togs without undies underneath. You definitely shouldn't be trying on pants without anything on underneath.
Hey, thanks, you cool Jonathan.
Lee, you wore no knickers to your own wedding.
That's right, yeah.
Why did you go commando to your wedding?
Because you could see them through my dress, and it was all good till I got drunk and fell over.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I was thinking more, that's the traditional stage of the wedding where the groom takes off the garter.
Oh, yeah. Puts his head up your dress.
Yeah.
He lost his head if he'd have put it up my dress.
Well, he was marrying you, Lee, so I assume he's...
That was all right. I'm imagining that was all right. All right, thanks, Lee.
Some other text messages in. I went to my granddad's funeral commando. A pencil skirt, so I couldn't have VPL, but I was carrying the casket.
Oh my God.
I was constantly worried if I tripped and fell, what would be more worrying, granddad falling out of the casket or my exposed... Neither region's been that close to my dear granddad.
She would have killed granddad's mate, I imagine.
They would have been like... I just went to my sister's graduation with no knickers on because I had to. I just moved into my flat and I could not find any.
See, I'd just rather wear an old stanky pair or go and buy some more from the supermarket. Yeah, I'd just be weird. Too weird.
Really?
What if you lose your pants?
I'd buy new undies on the way there.
Yeah, weirdly,
sometimes when I dress, because I wear skirts all the time, undies is the last thing I put on. And I'm always scared that I'll forget when I leave the house.
Who taught you to get dressed?
I don't know. It's just a weird thing I do. And I always, I'm
knickers,
terrified.
Pants, T-shirt, socks.
Yeah.
Just
that's
skirt.
The order. You know where you're going to fall down with this
hopefully not
order.
In front of me.
No. When you're old and you've got dementia.
Yeah.
And you put your dress on and you just walk out the house.
My routine's going to fail me.
Yeah, you'll put on three pairs of undies one day and then none for the next week.
The Fletch, Vaughan and Megan podcast.
Ahead of Megan's operation, it's a hip dysplasia. What's the fancy word for it?
Periacetabular osteotomy.
Yeah, she's not 80. She doesn't need a hip replacement.
Nah, she's getting rebuilt.
Yeah, so Megan will be away for 3 to 4 weeks, but there is a chance it could all go horribly
There's
wrong.
There's a small chance.
There's a tiny fraction of a chance.
That she could die.
And now, we don't want you to leave without us saying some touching last goodbyes.
Yeah,
that's sweet. That's really sweet.
Straight up, if you die, I'm just going to say what I've got written down. So I want you to hear it.
So what we've decided to do is to read a eulogy. Megan's decided to spice this up a little bit because she wants some actual emotion. Mm. She's worried. You're worried that we might not have enough emotion.
I want it to be real, I want you to feel something. I want tears.
Right, okay.
So I've got a tear bell. So ooh, when I hit the bell, you need to show some serious emotion and bring on the
you know, keep speaking as, you, yeah, as much as you can.
You know that, right? I can't act. Like, anytime you film something and I have to act, I'm terrible.
And he's got the emotional depth of a robot. Yeah. So this is going to be really hard.
No, I got a little welled up at the Fault in Our Stars. Remember that? Like, it was like a little tiny
would
tear.
Would you ever speak at a funeral?
No. I wouldn't do it. I'm like, we speak on the radio every day. But it's different.
Haven't you been known to say that you wouldn't even go to a funeral because you're like, well, they're dead, they don't know.
No, man. I would go to, like, obviously family and real close friends, but if it's like someone at work, I'd be like, nah.
So literally close friends, aka anyone in this room now.
I'd go to your guys' funeral and that's about it.
That's all.
But I wouldn't say anything.
That's all.
No, I wouldn't speak. No, I'd just sit in the back, just sobbing. Okay, who's going first?
You're going first. Megan's even got some music lined up. Some funeral music. And I'm wearing a tie.
Oh my goodness.
This is going to help.
Vaughn, that's a St. Patrick's Day tie that was gimmicky.
And wow, much like before lovely. My nana's funeral, I've spilt some porridge on my top.
Are you not getting change for my funeral?
We've got no time, kids. Quick, get in the car.
Is this thing on? Okay.
Yeah. Is this thing on?
You know, sometimes the people doing the AV at funerals are a bit useless.
Yeah, they are.
Are we streaming this funeral for those around the world that can't be here?
Yeah, okay, they definitely did that.
No laughing. Shh, no laughing.
James, it's very loud music. James is pushing the button. It's very...
Get into character or something.
How do you start a eulogy? Do you just...
Hi, my name's Fletch.
Hi, everybody.
My name's Fletch and I worked with Megan.
Oh, my God, that's so good.
It's not Alcoholics Anonymous, mate. Loosen up a bit.
Yeah, and don't laugh. Stop laughing.
She's dead.
We are here to celebrate the life of Megan Sellers.
Did you copy paste?
A woman that I have been blessed to call my granddad and also my best friend.
Fletch! She's changed
you
the word!
You copy pasted! You copy pasted someone's granddad!
Guys, please, if you can be quiet, we've lost someone dear to us.
Okay.
The saying goes that everybody dies, but nobody truly lives. And granddad's journey has been... I swore I wouldn't do this, but... It's been a full and rich one, and the proof of that incredible journey is a strong legacy that she leaves behind. Her wife, Maureen, 8 children. Mary, oh, Catherine, I can see you there. It's be strong. Patricia, Annette, Michael, Claire, Fiona, and James, 19 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. As well as his sister, Kathleen, and his many great-nieces and nephews.
I mean, you could have changed the names to be slightly more applicable to the situation.
Yeah.
Vaughn, please. Recently, I asked him what he would have been in life if he hadn't been a mechanic. And he told me that he would have been an artist, a writer, a dancer, or a poet. And it just amused me that these were the things that he could have been, because to me, he's always been all of those things.
More tears.
Well, Grandad, I hope that when your eyes are closed for the last time, you started watching the most glorious movie you've ever watched. We'll all miss you. Amen. Do you say amen?
You can say whatever you want, mate. It's a eulogy. That was a weird last line about that.
Why did you?
Well, no, I had to sub out a lot of, like, emotional stuff.
How come
this was
you
like
changed?
8 pages.
Wait, you summed out the emotional stuff but left in all the reference of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Megan doesn't have
I was
of
rushed
that.
For time, Vaughn.
And how come you changed some of it to her and
by the way,
granddad?
How good was my cry acting?
That was
thank
good
you, guys.
Pretty good for you.
Pretty good.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
I'm actually a little bit teared up there. I don't even know this guy. Michael McDonald from the UK.
I think there should be applause at funerals for good speeches.
Thank you, Vaughn. Thank you.
It's always frowned upon, but I think you should applaud.
Yeah.
All right, next, we're going to come back, and I know Vaughn put actually a lot of time into... He never really puts a lot of time into anything, but he put a lot of time into writing Megan's eulogy.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
The warmest February on record, and that's just not in New Zealand, that's around the world. The warmest February on
global
record.
Global warming's still not a thing,
no,
though, is it?
Definitely not a thing. They say as they drive away in their giant diesel truck. So apparently that warm weather has also seen pests booming in New Zealand this year.
Right.
10 centimetre spiders are being reported.
Yeah.
I've actually seen whitetails, more whitetail spiders than I've seen before.
Yeah.
It's one of those summers where there's heaps of crickets.
Yep.
You wouldn't have crickets at your place because you're in town, but man, the crickets are going crazy. If you've got a lawn with a crack in it, the crickets are massive.
Yeah.
And in Wellington, reports of rats reaching up to 2 foot long from nose to end of tail.
I was going to say, does that include the tail?
Definitely.
What's that, like 50 centimetres?
No. 2 foot. Oh.
2 feet?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Are there photos?
Nah,
Are there photos?
This is the interesting thing. Rats of up to 2 foot long have been reported in Wellington, according to an exterminator. Yeah, I mean, it does his business well for people to believe the scratching in their ceiling is actually a 2 foot long monster, not three tiny mice.
You want to see some photo evidence?
Yeah, I want to see photo evidence of a...
Right.
I mean, the photo in this news story I'm looking at is a close-up of a rat, like...
The rat could sniff
at the camera lens, take a photo, you'd be like, well, that's actually 3 foot away.
You could believe that was a 4 meter rat.
Well, just because it's so close to it.
You're saying they're terrifying us, so we call them.
Fear. They're using fear to peddle their products.
Unless so there are actually 60 centimeter rats, and then I'm terrified.
It bears not thinking about. Wasps as well, more reported around than ever.
Oh, yuck. Ugh.
So if you're a fan all the most disgusting things getting way bigger, continue to just global warm.
I'm happy winter's coming.
It'll kill them off.
Not the rats, though. Not the rats, though.
No, they've got too big now. They can't be stopped.
Oh, they'll have to go inside and
they'll have to come inside.
just give them Wellington.
The Fletch, Vaughan and Megan podcast.
Megan tomorrow goes in for an operation. You'll be out for 3 to 4 weeks.
Yes.
Maybe two if we just chuck a recording, a microphone in your bedroom.
Yeah.
depending on how it all goes.
How much trammies I'm having.
No. But we thought that what we'd do is we'd read you out these kind words and eulogy now in case you do die. You wouldn't get to hear it.
You don't get to hear our hard words.
It's a great idea. I've always thought that. You need to hear the nice things while you're alive.
Before you die. Yeah. Before you die, you fake your own funeral and you get to hear everything. And then when you actually die, you just get them to chuck you in a cardboard box.
Right. So we've heard my touching eulogy earlier.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
The bell that you'll hear during the eulogy, Vaughan,
okay.
as with mine, this is Megan ringing the bell to indicate that you've got to start crying.
It's
and
me
acting.
Requesting tears.
Yeah.
So when you need to turn it on, I want some emotion.
Okay. Hi, everybody. We're here to celebrate the life of Megan Louise Sellers. Megan was born on July the something, 1980 and something or the other. She was the second child of Warren and Ray Ray Sellers, a child that was the result of few too many Miami wine coolers at the Mapua Naturalist Reserve. When you're a naturalist and you're drinking, this happens a bit because it's quite easy to tell when your partner's in the mood. A rambunctious child full of spirit and attitude, but looked a bit weird. People would often stop her parents and say, "What's wrong with this?" But usually, no offense, but at first, which of course made it far less offensive. When she was a teenager, she kept quite the diary, cataloging events such as seeing a frenemy being hit by a car, joining Kapa Haka, wearing a t-shirt with a zip on it, and of course, soiling one's knickers due to falling over while roller skating down a hill. There's also another diary entry that now that she's dead, we can legally read. The much anticipated rowing camp edition. Had it, Fletch.
No. Not
from a period of time known as the
2000s.
It's an excerpt from the teenage diary of Megan Sellers.
Dear diary, the most amazing thing happened in Twizel at rowing camp.
No.
I finally lost my.
So I just read that. Did I say it's from the legal team or do I try to make it sound like smart?
Okay. I don't know what happened there. All events, of course, pertaining to teenage Megan Sellers' sexual exploits may, in fact, be a reality or alleged events at the 2002 Māori Cup Rowing Championships in Twizel are at this stage in the legal proceedings and are unable to be broadcast due to litigious action being taken on behalf of Ms. Sellers against Mr. Fletcher and Smith at this time, currently involved at various stages of the New Zealand legal system.
We will read that when you die. or when you're away.
So after she cashed in her V plates with a stranger on rowing camp, life changed for Megan. Megan Shush, you're dead, remember. She discovered a love for journalism and followed that passion through writing for her school paper to attending the same banged up radio course that's previously churned out airwave legends like Vaughan Smith and other people. But I mean, what more do you need to hear about the place? After attending a polytech pretending to be a university, Megan entered the workforce. Learning to push buttons and other nerdy stuff that people who aren't funny enough to talk on the radio do. But she didn't give up her dream there. She tried her hand at an on-air alias, Little Megs, at a station that played music targeted at urban youth, but never told her racist nana because she didn't want to be written out of the will. In 2008, she was lucky enough to work with two radio industry heroes, Carl Fletch Fletcher and Vaughan, just Vaughan Smith. They taught her everything she now knows, like how to turn her pencil-thin gothic eyebrows into on-fleek-shaped eyebrow perfection. They also taught her that reindeers are an actual real species of animals and not just for Santa's sleigh.
That's right.
They also taught her that flamingos are real, Africa isn't a country, but Chad is, and it's in Africa. And we all remember the time she learned wingdings and ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics are the same thing. Basically, Megan's 20s and numbers read like this. She got married once. She got divorced once. She got one toy boy. She took 10,000 selfies and bought 1,000 pairs of shoes. She died just short of her 33rd birthday, which is a shame because I'm totally going to buy her a present this year, I promise. I guess if Megan was still here today or if I got one last chance to speak to her, I'd say, hey, Megan, do you remember in 2013 when I lent you $20? You never paid me back. Should I ask your pet money or do you have, like, the cash in your car or something? I'm just hungry and I need lunch. I guess this is goodbye. So as French Renaissance poet Rihanna once waxed lyrically, pay me what you owe me. Bitch better have my money. I'll miss you, Megan. Seriously, who can give me that $20? Because my money.
Touching. Touching words, Vaughn. She would have loved that.
She would have loved that.
Am I allowed to do clarification?
No.
Seriously, I need that $20. Sometime today.
I'm not about to turn 33.
I knew.
No.
38. 38th birthday. That's easy. Oh. I can turn a 3 into an 8 just by drawing the rest of the circle. And
well, Megan, you've had our touching eulogies.
Thanks.
And you go away for your operation tomorrow. So
okay. It was perfectly timed because I just updated my computer software. And in the time it took me to do that and come back, I've restarted and it's ready to go.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM.
I just had some post-eulogy Bersha Muesli, which is
right.
filled the gap. I thought I was sad, but I was just hungry. Which is like you when you think you're angry, but you're just hungry.
Right.
So was it's hangry.
Was that weird hearing your eulogies?
Yeah, being alive? It was. When you were like here to celebrate Megan, I was like, oh,
yeah, that's what
creepy.
You say. That's
but
you
then
say.
You made it a little bit like unemotional, so
yeah,
it was
yeah.
fine.
That's you got to keep people. Right. Yeah. Got to keep them. The reason I mentioned the post eulogy Bersha is it's just reminded me of a situation that my household's facing.
Okay.
One thing I found about the early mornings is you've got to get your breakfast sorted, or you end up just eating like half a box of cereal with like 2 liters of milk. Morning.
Yeah.
It's not great for the waistline. So there's a bit of preparation goes into my morning Bersha.
Yeah, but you do it the night before.
Yeah,
don't
you? I do it the night before,
okay.
And I've got a system set up. Like, okay. I know how many calories and stuff it is. 45 grams for, this is how it goes, 45 grams of rolled oats, 100 grams of almond coconut unsweetened milk. Yeah, I do.
Why don't you just pour it into a container and she'll be right, like roughly?
No, because when I was doing that calorie counting and it was like I got it to the perfect mix.
Okay.
Slice up a banana, half a tin of peaches.
Okay.
Like the scoop thing of goji berries. Like it's systematic. I'm like a machine.
Okay.
Here's where my problem arises. I know at the start of the week I buy 3 tins of peaches.
Okay.
Half a tin of peaches. Each day with half a tin of peaches to spare.
Yeah.
You're sounding like some kind of freak. Like
It's got very formulaic.
Yeah.
Formulaic. So last night my wife said, I want some of that Bersha. I said, I'll make it. She's like, nah, last time you made it for me, it was too sweet. I don't need that many peaches. I was like, no, you've got to have half the tin of peaches because
okay.
If you have less, I'm going to be stuck with more than half a tin. Or if you have more than half, I'm going to be stuck with less than half. And that's just the weight thing's got to. And then she just was like, to spite me, only 3 slices of peaches.
Okay.
And left me like a can and a half of peaches. So now there's this weird, after I took my half a can of peaches, there's only a quarter of a can of peaches left. And she's messing with all of my systems. Like, I buy blueberries, and I know the little thing of blueberries half each day, and she just took, like, a handful, and I don't know where I'm at now.
But can't you have a quarter of a can of peaches as a snack in the afternoon or something?
But then I've got an Irish can of peaches.
Yeah, and then you've only got 3 cans.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Are you okay?
You know when you set up, like, a really good system? It turned into a, like, I had to, she was like, you just got to calm down about it. And then she knew I was getting worked up. So she was like, I'm just going to have some blueberries. And would like, oh man.
She did
like,
it on purpose.
I don't know how many blueberries I'm going to have. And so I started getting all.
You reminded me of Christian Bale in American Psycho.
The head started shaking. Well, I did go and get my axe out of the garage. and she thinks it was real funny. So I had to start laughing it off. But then I had to have also just a stress moment where I just went to the end room and was just like.
Yeah.
I know. Remember when people talk about testing marriages now, I know.
What they're talking about, right?
Remember that time you used to make frittatas for breakfast and she ate your breakfast frittata?
Yeah, so I'd make a frittata. It would be a 3-day frittata. I'd make it and it would be perfectly in three. Now, again, I knew the ingredients. I knew that there was eggs in the whole frittata, which was three eggs a day, which I love in the baking tray. So I'd always get three eggs a day. And she'd rock in and just take like this weird shaped frittata. I'd cut it sideways, like width to width. And she'd come in and cut it lengthwise at some like non-specific.
Right.
Just take a third of it at least. So I can just do another one. Don't take, because no.
She's take
messy,
a breath.
And she knows she gets in with the systems. She knows she's messy and she loves getting in there and messing with the systems.
What time is she in the car?
She's in the car now. This is your warning.
Your stuff will take be outside when you get home.
As a pre-declaration of war.
Yeah.
I know you've got systems I'll mess with them.
Next time I'm at your house, I'm going to go in your pantry and find your peaches and hide them around the house.
It's like when she puts pots in the dishwasher. She'll look at me as she does it.
Oh, you never put a pot in the dishwasher.
I always put pots in the dishwasher.
I have to restack the dishwasher daily. Don't stack it. Leave it unstacked. I'll stack it. I just don't want to have to restack.
Right, okay. I feel like we're some kind of marriage counsellor. Megan and I are having to listen to these OCD problems.
Are they
OCD?
She's only getting away with it because she's like a solid 9 after 2 kids and I was like a 4 to start
and
with.
And we know what she has to put up with, so.
I am sure there's a couple of things she could probably mention that are annoying
there's
around the house that I do.
There's quite a few.
Yesterday we had a noise competition and I won.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Now Megan goes into hospital tomorrow. You may have just heard our touching eulogies. And joining us as Megan's replacement and like a substitute teacher, like we'll probably play up and not do any of our work.
No, you'll be nice.
Yeah. Laura McGoldrick, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, here's a question. You are married to Martin Guptill, the cricketer, who, by the way, got 80 runs overnight, and we beat Pakistan.
Yeah.
Do we hyphenate your last name now, or are you keeping your other name?
I'm keeping my other name, but when we have the children and there is parent-teacher interviews, it'll be Mr. and Mrs. Guptill.
I said your name and I was like, was that correct?
That is correct. Well done.
Now, we've had a run through, you may have seen this video, is anyone online, we've practiced the Fact of the Day jingle, which is what we're about to do. Now, I know people ask us a lot, they're like, do you sing that every day? Because it sounds so perfect and beautiful and melodic that it can't be live every time.
It's easy for us because we've been doing it for years and people get excited when they finally crack it. So it's quite a feat to ask someone just to step in and like be able to do it because I know it's like musical genius.
Yeah, because you're the replacement teacher, you're going to have to join us for Fact of the Day jingle, Laura. So what we might do now is Megan, maybe you just sit this one out.
Okay.
No, it's her last one. She should lead it.
Oh, what if I lead the first one and then when we do it at the end, I step out and Laura's on her own.
Okay.
Oh, good
It's like the handover.
All right, it's must be time for
Fact of the Day.
Not that hard, see?
Easy.
Also, we need to tell you the breathe in is count as like the metronome.
The sink it,
you like sink it.
I stop breathing throughout the.
Does cause some people to hold their breath. Don't know why. It's a medical
Today's
anomaly.
Fact of the day:
30% of one night stands become relationships. How's that for a statistic? 60% of Americans surveyed had reported having a one-night stand.
Okay.
And of those people, 30% of the one-night standees had ended up in a long-term relationship due to the one-night stand.
What do they count as more than a week?
I thought you were going to say, what do they count as a one-night stand?
This is society's interpretation of a long-term relationship, not Fletcher's interpretation of a long-term relationship, which is, are you still here? This is now a long-term relationship.
It's been a whole night.
Yeah, it's been
As soon as I heard this fact of that, I was like, I'm going to wear it, aren't I? Just shush.
Yeah, Fletch is actually bringing these statistics down. If Fletch wasn't involved, it would be somewhere as high as 50%.
I've never had a relationship out of a one-night stand.
But what is it? So you don't... What would your definition of a one-night stand be? Not knowing... Laura, you're remaining quite mum over there. That's been noted.
A wee giggle.
So you don't know them.
Yeah, you don't know them.
You meet them, you sleep with them. That's a one-night stand, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
You can't have been having chat And then
well,
go
you could
on
have
like
been chatting to them for like
no,
a week or something.
That's not a one night stand.
No, a one night stand is you're in, you're out, right?
Yeah. And you meet them that night.
Literally.
Yeah. And then you leave some communication details and
if
they get in touch.
It.
And
yeah.
then when they text you back, you're like, who does?
Who does? New phone. New phone, who does? Oh, no.
Sorry, she's got a new phone.
Change
that's
my number.
That's my cousin. I saw they've sold me their phone.
I just got this number from Vodafone/Spark. I don't know. Who does?
Whomever provides this number particularly. Who does? So 30%.
Well, you two, Vaughn and Laura, has that happened to you? One night stand lasted into a relationship?
No, ma'am.
No.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
I do not believe you, Laura. Why? You've got a sneaky wee grin on your face.
I do never have a sneaky wee grin.
Do you know, even when I see you interviewing your husband after cricket games,
yes.
I always think, well, there's some sexual tension there. Oh, that's right, they're married. There's absolutely no sexual tension left now. But there's this little something. Did you chat to him as a sports reporter before you were together?
That's how I met him. That was my second interview with a cricketer. On live television was with him.
Oh, the first one turned you down.
Yeah, the first one did. And it was rough, but was I bounced back quickly.
Was it cricket tubby Ian Smith? You were like, how'd you feel about that? And you're like,
Shahid Afridi, was it? Someone who, I don't know.
Yeah,
who,
no.
That's the name. You're going niche cricket number.
I couldn't think of any. I just,
well done. His nickname's Boom Boom, yeah.
Shahid Afridi. Vaughn and I behind with that. We were like, what?
Vaughn's Tens.
This is.
Oh, you're not allowed to say Chris Tens when you're talking about cricket anymore, right?
This is, you're actually... got a lot of cricket chat out of Vaughan because he doesn't like cricket, Laura.
No, actually, my nana heard that you guys were talking and you were going to break it to me that you don't like cricket.
I don't like cricket. I love cricket.
I don't mind T20 cricket, but
Vaughan doesn't like the long
everything
ones.
Everything else is too much
as he calls them, the long ones.
The long ones. 5 days. And it can end in a draw.
Yeah, but it's all up here in your noodle and stuff. It's like it's a very it's high tech.
I've got other stuff to do with my noodle over 5 days.
All right, well we've gone from one night stands fact of the day to Shafrida Hedy or whatever his name is.
It was a long and arduous journey, but we made it on top of Shahid Afridi.
Just call him Boom Boom.
So today's fact of the day is 30% of one night stands end up in long term relationships.
Fact of the day.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Laura McGoldrick is stepping in to look after you two, especially while I'm gone, because God knows you need it.
Look after.
Mm-hmm. Caitlin can't do it on her own.
She tries.
She does
try. She really tries. So, by the way, I think she got off really lightly just before with that fact of the day about 30% of one-night stands in long-term relationships. Just think. We got sidetracked, Caitlin. Yeah, Otherwise, I would have come to you for comment.
But behind the scenes, there's a lot of we're just running through how the show goes, the day-to-day running, the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Are we?
I was going to say, do you want to run me through it?
Well, you do need to be run through everything. You'll find that Vaughan doesn't listen a lot of the time, Laura.
Okay.
And we have to remind him constantly about things, and then he'll be surprised
when
already told him.
Yeah.
When it pops up.
Mm.
Vaughan's also always late. Always extremely late. So if you need him to be somewhere,
correct.
You lie 15 minutes or half an hour earlier.
Did they tell you about how I don't listen? Yes.
Fletch likes to do little fatties in the studio and blame it on
Fletch's protein intake is dangerously high.
Vaughan will do silent, violent farts from time to time. And sometimes I have to tell him off because we have a guest coming in.
Well, yesterday when we had a guest coming in, I felt one coming, so I went outside and it gurgled back up into me, and I don't know where it's gone.
Oh my God.
Why you should never hold it in.
Yeah, but this room doesn't feel like it breathes that well.
No, very porous walls.
the walls are fabric. Those farts are soaking into those.
Like the ceiling looks quite absorbent as well. Mm. So
what I'm trying to say,
so
Laura,
we're just sitting here in your farts. Is that what you're saying?
Best of luck.
Thanks very much. Thank you. How long have you
gone? It's actually painted us in a very poor light, Megan.
Well, what's the positives? They know all your business? No, that's not a positive.
We make it our business.
He will bring Bircher Muesli for everybody. No, that's
not
just
for
him.
Everybody, just for me. Himself.
Vaughan is very nosy. That's another thing you'll find out. Vaughan's very nosy.
He will find out everything about you.
But yeah, either way, Laura will be here for about 3 to 4 weeks, depending on when Megan gets, I guess, mobile, because you're going to have a
mobile?
A mobile.
When she gets her own petrol station. Mobile.
When
Megan gets a mobile card.
We're actually going to have to get you one of those mobility scooters again, aren't we?
Yes.
Or a walker.
Yes, please. That'd be great.
Oh, God. Okay. Mm. Well,
thank you for having me. And you'll be fine. You look really. I'm worried about your little face
nervous.
Every time you talk about that surgery.
I'm quite nervous.
Don't be.
Laura, I also don't listen. I don't know if that's been covered, and I'm surprised by things later because no one tells me anything.
Oh, okay.
But then they're like, you just weren't listening. But technically, if I didn't hear it, did the tree fall down at all? One hand clapping.
The Fletch, Vaughan and Megan podcast.
I gave you a compliment just then, by the way.
Yeah.
It's very unlike you. Thank you.
You know, because you're going away for a few weeks.
Right.
So I want you to remember
you're
me.
You're building me up, Buttercup.
Exactly.
What keeps you young looking?
Elizabeth Arden Future Flawless Skincare Set, Vaughan.
Right, okay.
No, this is just Un Naturale.
So you're not aging.
I know.
My wife and I discussed this at the weekend. Because one of those today on Facebook's 8 years ago.
Actually,
and she was like, Jesus, Fletch has not changed an iota.
Mm.
You actually don't. You haven't.
You don't. What is the secret?
I don't know. I just.
Is it exercise?
I don't know.
Exercise.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
Should I primarily say with people significantly younger than you, like stealing their youth, some sort of Dorian Gray painting?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So, last calls. Why do we always get sidetracked onto that? Let's go to Michaela. Michaela, what's your last calls? Cool.
No, you got Hannah there.
I've got
there,
Hannah
mate.
There.
He's looking young, but he's getting very senile. Hannah, early onset dementia. Good morning.
We're going to go start with Hannah.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Hannah. What happened?
Okay, so my husband and I have inherited my parents' dog, and he used to sleep on our bed, but he doesn't anymore because one time he was in and we started kind of having special cuddles.
Righto.
So we were like, all right, we'll put the dog off the bed, kind of continue.
Hannah, put the dog out and shut the door.
I know, it's weird when animals look.
Cats are judgmental. It's like the cat wants to give me tips. So the cat's like, what are you doing? All wrong.
This is how we learned that we need to now put the dog out.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So we were getting a little, we're having our private time, yeah. And then the dog jumped up onto the bed and started sniffing my husband's butt.
Got the nose.
Right, okay. And then, okay, so that was it. The husband was like, okay, get out.
Yeah, it kind of ruined the moment a lot. But yeah, I was really surprised.
Yeah, James, James has just whispered in my ear what they were. James, I know they were having sex, James.
James just spoke.
James
down
is
the
like,
line.
But he's like, Vaughan, they're having sex. In my little producer's ear.
We get it, James.
Yeah. No, we totally got it. They were doing
did
it.
Did we not sound like we got it?
And the dog was just
clarifying.
The dog. Yeah. Okay, thanks, James. Right, so we've got James here for us today.
I'm going to spice up the mood like a cold, wet nose.
Michaela, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Last call.
My last call is, so we were in the middle of the mall after netball one time, and you know, like, a couple, yeah, it was cool to wear your, like, track pants up to the bottom.
Well, is it not cool now?
Is that not cool?
So not cool.
God, I only just bought track pants with zips in them.
Okay.
So I was in the middle of the food court, and the mall was really busy, and I saw my mate on the other side of the mall, so I was trying to get her attention and trying to show so I started yelling out to her, like, hey, bro, look, I'm over here. Yeah. Everyone was staring at me. And so I got, like, too embarrassed and shamed out. So I started running towards her. And I stood on the loose part of my track pants and fully downtrodden myself. And then just face planted in the middle of the mall. And everyone was just like, ah!
Give yourself a downtrod.
That's awesome. Okay, all right, wait there. We'll vote in just a sec. Ashley, last up for last calls, what's your story?
So I'm, like, deathly scared of birds. I've been chased down the street by hordes of birds or seagulls before, and a bird's trying to make a nest in my head and all sorts of crazy things.
Okay.
Wait, let's just go back to that point about birds trying to...
Mess up your head.
How long have you been standing still that birds have thought it necessary to start nesting on your head?
I was, like, 5, and I was trying to be a good person and sit still and do my homework, and this bird just came and sat on my head and tried to make a nest.
But this is more about the condition of your hair more than the...
bushy.
Almost like a thicket.
All right. And
I had one of those awful bobs, you know, that little kids have. It was horrific. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was driving along with the windows down. Beautiful summer's day. And I made eye contact with this bird about 10 metres away from me. And I remember thinking, don't you do it. Don't you do it. And, of course,
I did it.
2 seconds later, the damn bird flew into my window. through my window started flapping around me while I'm drying in my face. So I'm screaming, the bird's flapping, and then it decides I'm no fun and it flies out the other window. I was left traumatised.
Maybe you're the bird whisperer. Like when you're steam, you're giving them a message like, come say hi.
I think so, because it's probably been like 20 times where birds have actually just singled me out and either dive bombed me or just attack me.
Fear again.
I think birds can smell fear, judge fear, because I've been walking with my friend Grant, like you, terrified of birds, hates the unpredictable nature of them. And I've been walking and geese will just look at him and barrel him up, but they'll leave me completely alone.
Geese, you understand.
Yeah, no, I fully believe birds are like, that guy's scared. Well,
the evil.
Yeah.
They've got air as well, which makes them stronger.
Air power?
Like they can fly?
Yeah, exactly. So you can run around, but they can still chase you because they can see you and they've got air power.
But you can go inside things and that trips them up.
I went into my flat after they chased me down the street once and they all just sat around my flat and looked at me to come back out with my chips.
You need to carry a loaf of bread around, I think, Ashley.
I was
going to
say, you've always got chips.
It is time now for us to vote, the Tribal Council, for our favourite story today.
All right, we've got a vote for Ashley and her ongoing dramas with birds. A vote for Hannah's situation with dog nose up butt. And the final vote is for Ashley and the bird situation. Continuing to unfold, Ashley, we look forward to hearing further bird stories from you in Last Calls.
Thanks.
That was the Fletch, Vaughan and Megan podcast. For more, listen from 6 on ZM.
And check them out on Facebook.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughan and Megan.